fine crouton.
It's word salad with Amelia Discreet, only on 95 BFM.
Oh, kia ora, Amelia Discreet.
Good morning.
How are you?
I actually am feeling a little bit under the weather.
Sorry, that's why I keep
glaring at everybody. It's not because of any animosity.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. No beef in the studio today.
No beef. All squashed.
All squashed. What's going on in the world of words? What are we talking about today?
Well, we're going to take a little bit of a journey today inspired by James Tapp's mum. Shout out James Tapp
from the news team's mum.
Yes, she had a request that we talk about the transition of the colour pink from being a masculine colour to a feminine colour, which is not entirely within the remit of word salad. So I thought we could talk about that a little bit and then move on to some other interesting, more specifically linguistic
things.
So essentially, pink is just a colour for a long time.
No gendered connotations
And children are generally dressed identically and in white. And then towards the end of the 19th century, start of the 20th century, pastels get really big.
Ooh.
And so people like dressing their babies in pastels. Usually, not universally, girls are blue because it's dainty and feminine, boys are in pink because it's like red, it's powerful, bold, masculine.
Excellent.
Yes.
Strong seems like a thing that they would be into.
And then World War II happens.
I've heard of it.
And a bunch of different factors. I mean, I hadn't heard of it till I researched this, actually. It's been very shocking for me. A bunch of factors all kind of happened together, kind of a little bit of a trigger warning for this bit because some of them are pretty nasty, that kind of switch around what pink as like a cultural signifier. So one is that the First Lady, Mamie Eisenhower, her favorite color is pink. She gets inaugurated in this big, outrageous kind of powder pink dress. She paints the kitchen pink, and she is extremely, like, trad wife. She says things like, Ike runs the country, I turn the pork chops.
Oh, God.
I have a career, his name is Ike. You also get developments in fashion technology. People are developing new dyes. So there's a woman called Elsa Schiaparelli who kind of makes up like hot pink, like very vivid pink, and so it becomes like a fashion trend.
Okay.
And because fashion, generally speaking, is like women's fashion, you get women dressing in these outrageous pink dresses. So you get people, and then you end up with people like Jane Mansfield, who kind of take that kind of shade of pink and make it their whole life.
Wow, okay.
You also have a reaction to women being in the workplace where they're going to be mainly wearing practical clothes made out of practical fabrics. Practical fabrics are usually denim, blue, leather, brown.
Yep.
Bit of cotton kind of maybe going on,
some sort of grays and stuff there.
Yeah, and so women start wearing more pastel colors, including pink, as a reaction to being like trying to reclaim femininity after World War II.
Right,
so you get pink being associated with that. And then here's the really depressing bit. In the Holocaust, you get homosexuals having to wear pink triangles. So homosexuals, people we would now call trans women, lesbians actually had to wear black.
Different.
Weird. Anyway, so you get kind of an association with pink and kind of like unmasculine.
Got you. Okay.
Deviant behavior.
Wow, I had no idea it was as late as that pink started to have those kind of gendered ideas.
And it doesn't really get, it kind of, in the 60s and 70s, it kind of breaks down again, and it's not till the 80s that it really comes back.
Right.
So you have it in the 50s, and then in the 80s, and it's kind of just stuck around.
That's so interesting. I kind of knew that it hadn't always been, a feminized color in the way that people saw it, but I didn't realize it was as recent as that we'd started to have those attachments to it.
Well, did you know that the word girl has not always been gendered?
Ah, here we pivot look at that smooth as segue.
So girl used to just mean child, and boy was a word for your servant or like a rascal. Yeah, it was like had pretty negative connotations. And then we don't know why suddenly in the 1400s they just started becoming associated with children.
So there's this kind
of weird, like, these words that have, like, specific characterizations. One is, like, what you would call a child doing normal stuff, being nice. And one is what you call your, like, servant who's, like, running about being cheeky. And they're
Garçon.
Like, let's gender these, please.
That's so strange. So it's the 1400s, you said, that started happening. Okay, so that one is kind of a hot minute ago. Yeah.
But so actually the main thing we're going to talk about today is where words for colors come from.
Cool, okay.
Because pink as a color is extremely late in development. It actually comes from the name for a flower, and we find a lot of our names for tertiary colors come from objects. Like, we have the objects first, and then it's only later on that we need to name other things after those.
Now, I did go to art school, but can you please remind me of what is a tertiary color?
So there's the primary colors, which are the, like, main pure colors of the spectrum.
Oh, your
red, yellow,
blue. Yeah.
Yes.
Then you get just those three
secondary colors. Let's not
too
do full color theory right now. Then you have secondary colors, which are those blended together, like pure green, pure purple. And then tertiary colors are like the little extra
shady sort of ones.
Buzzy kind of like pastels and all kinds of.
Those colors tend to take their names from things that are already present in the world.
Yeah, pretty much. And what the scientists have actually figured out, and this is extremely weird, that pretty much cross-culturally, we develop names for colors in a specific order.
Okay. Yes. How does that work?
We're not sure how it works. It seems to be something to do with, like, accessibility, like the way that the way that we are able to understand the spectrum, mm-hmm. like how much impact it has on us.
Wow. Okay.
So,
like, in terms of seeing it, basically, like perceiving it. Okay.
So, in terms of the order of naming colors, cultures do black, white, then red, then green and yellow, and then way later on they do blue. And then if you're lucky, after that you end up with stuff like tangerine.
Mm.
And if you think about those other colours, violet, those are all things.
A tangerine, a fuchsia, I'm following you.
Because by the time we need colours for those, we've already had to name so many objects. Whereas with red,
we're like, what is that thing? What is that big bright light of certain hue that we don't have a word for yet? Let's just call it red.
Yeah, so our words for black and white are extremely old. They go back to what's called like Proto-Indo-European.
Whoa.
So
what age are we talking here? What era?
Thousands and thousands of years ago.
Okay.
Like as far back as we can figure out how English is developing.
Got you.
So this is like in Europe, people are starting to talk about stuff. They need words for colors. Basically, our word for white comes from a word meaning like bright.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and our word for black, because English sucks, accidentally also comes from a word meaning bright. Probably. So obviously a lot of this is like speculative, but it seems like black comes from a word bel.
Yep.
Which has gone into Spanish as blanco, French as blanc, Italian as bianco. It's in English as bleach and blank.
True.
But it's also black, because this seems to be a word related to burning.
All right.
So a lot of people are burning, brightness.
Brightness and then
the void.
Whereas in English we were like burning. Nah, it's all that stuff, you know.
The aftermath, the brightness.
The charred remains. Our word for red is just, as far as we can tell, just been a word for red. It pops up in other languages. Spanish, rojo. I can't pronounce other languages. Rouge, rot in German. Icelandic, I don't even know what that letter is. Gonna have to skip that one entirely.
Welsh,
rud. And in English, it's like related to ruby, rust, rubella. Red is like good, strong word. It's just been that forever.
Strong root word. Got it.
Both green and yellow come from a word to grow.
Well, that makes sense. It's also quite nice as well. Feels like wholesome and.
Yeah.
I think there's something really lovely about the idea that all these words, which are so to do with perception of the world, actually have such visual relationships to the things that they... I mean, it seems really obvious to say that, but I think when you start thinking about, like, where did that word actually come from, it is pretty crazy to be like, we need something to describe the vibe that this is giving me, you know?
Like, well, I mean, and totally. And it does seem like it's the understanding of colour is very different. Like, you're essentially going to be describing things as bright or dark if you're living thousands and thousands of years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then eventually you're going to be describing things as bright or dark or growing. Or green, like green and yellow are essentially start off as like one word that splits, like gill, gree.
Beautiful word. It's like music to my ears.
Yeah. And then way later on, we get blue. So blue, very famously, there's been a lot of like, if anyone else is a big nerd listening, you'll know that. Am I running really long?
I mean, we can do blue and then
we'll wrap it up. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So blue is a word that is famously late in developing. So if you go and you read the Odyssey, they are not going to be describing things as blue. They're going to be describing the ocean as wine dark.
Yes, I remember you talking about that one time and I shelved it as a fact in my mind.
Yes.
Cool fact for later.
And so...
wine dark. That's such a beautiful way to describe it.
It is very good. And that's essentially how people are describing a lot of things that we would just think of as primarily being a color.
Yeah.
It's not, there's not that kind of description. Whether that changes your whole perception is an argument for not me.
That's a philosophical chat for another day.
But yeah, so basically our word for blue, you may have heard of it.
I've heard of it.
It's bleu was, and it doesn't mean blue initially. It just means kind of light colored.
Okay.
So if someone is blonde, they would have bleu was hair. Mm. It's blonde. And it means, it also comes from a brightness word. It means to shine.
Okay, that's cool.
Eventually you get this kind of like differentiation in brightness, shininess, and it ends up
being
specific colors. And scientists are still not 100% sure on the mechanism of this, but it does seem to be fairly universal that it's black, white, red, green / yellow, then blue, and then like whatever else you need after that. Yeah, and blue, people usually don't get the specific word until they start getting pigments or dyes of that color, and they have to talk about it in terms of like crafting and making things.
That is so interesting. Thank you very much, Amelia Discreet. Thank you also to James's mum for being the catalyst for this whole conversation.
Yeah, big shout out.
Big shout out to James's mum. We will be talking words again next week, so tune in then. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Vinaigrette originally referred to small vinegar.
Word salad with Amelia Discreet on 95 BFM.